It is good to be here tonight to confirm Ben and Eli. After 2 years of COVID and 6 lockdowns, we still, I think, do not take for granted being able to gather for worship, a gift. Churches, along with many other organisations and the wider community, still do not have a strong sense of how 2022 will unfold, what it all means as we look to the future, as we're called to reimagine the future. And events in the past weeks in Ukraine only serve to underline the uncertainty, even anxiety, we can be feeling, experiencing. And that's without me mentioning other conflicts in the world, of course. I trust we all continue to pray for Myanmar, for Afghanistan, and I'm sure I could name others. What anchors us, sustains us, encourages us during times such as these? Anchors us in the sense of being able to know, to trust we are in safe hands, so that we have a sense of security, identity as the people of God, children of God. Yes, and the freedom, the trust, the courage to live what that means. In other words, to live out our calling as followers of Jesus, even when it feels we might be up against very large odds. Whether it is those of us being confirmed tonight, Eli and Ben, or all of us in our lives and as a church. These questions are really at the heart of the book of Joshua. In particular, the chapters we come to this evening, chapters 5 and 6, as the Israelites, the people of God, prepare to claim the land in chapter 5 and proceed to begin to do that in chapter 6. Whatever questions the book of Joshua raises about God and war, and if we are honest, it does raise questions, and I won't so much come to that later in the sermon. I will mention it briefly, but I want to encourage you to listen to the pre-recorded sermon for this week, where I believe Peter addresses that question quite carefully. So you've got homework? Homework, okay. Renee and Peter will test you next week on whether you listened to that sermon. It is important, and I encourage you to do that. Whatever the questions about God and war, the lens the narrator of this book is applying is God is faithful. God is keeping his promises. And the question is, what does it look like for the Israelites, the people of God, to trust that? What will prepare them, enable them to live out their calling, trusting in the God who is faithful, God who keeps his promises? The Israelites have crossed over the Jordan River on dry ground. That is miraculously enabling them to enter the promised land, as when the Lord parted the Red Sea so they could escape from Egypt back in the book of Exodus. And the point, chapter 4, verse 24, which I'm sure you dwelt on last week, so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. And all the peoples do recognise the power of the Lord. All the kings of the Amorites beyond the Jordans to the west, all the kings of the Canaanites by the sea, chapter 5, verse 1, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. What will it mean for the Israelites to always fear the Lord their God? To trust in God, to fear God rather than fear the odds. against them. And chapter 5, which we just heard read, highlights three things in particular: circumcision, the Passover meal, and Joshua's experience by Jericho. Joshua is the one leading these people. And each is reminiscent, each is evocative, along with the crossing of the Jordan, of the Exodus, that great act of salvation, God saving his people out of slavery in Egypt. And they each point to what will anchor us, sustain us, as we live out our calling as the children, the people of God. So firstly, circumcision. The Lord, at that time, that is when the enemy is weakened and demoralised, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. Well, maybe that's not what we would think would be the top priority, preparing for battle. But the point is, Joshua is circumcising this second generation as those leaving Egypt had been circumcised. See, we're told in verses 4 to 7, aren't we, that this had been neglected. Families hadn't been doing that in the 40 years they were in the wilderness, and that earlier generation had perished. And it's really important that they are. Why? Because of what it symbolised, the truth it pointed to. Circumcision marked every male as a descendant of Abraham. What was going to anchor them, sustain them? Knowing who they were, remembering they were children of Abraham, God's chosen people. The God who kept his promises to Abraham would continue to be faithful. And of course, according to the New Testament, those who believe in Jesus, or I shouldn't say of course, the gift is, those who believe in Jesus, you and I, are sons and daughters of Abraham by faith. And so Paul talks about the circumcision of the heart. We're here tonight for a service of confirmation. You're confirming, saying yes to the promises that were made at your baptism on your behalf. Or if you're an adult, you might have made them yourself. And I think we start to see here too the relevance of this passage. You know, circumcision in the Old Testament represents the outward sign of an inward condition, children of Abraham. Just as for the Christian, the sacraments are an outward and physical sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. There's actually a play on words here going on in the Hebrew, with the word for roll coming from a root galal, which is similar to Gilgal, circle or wheel. And the point is, God has rolled away Israel's embarrassment over slavery in Egypt. Baptism with water. Your baptism is a rich sign of the grace of God. Water, a symbol of life, rebirth. And it's a reminder of the waters of the Red Sea parting. As God saved the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, so God has saved us from slavery to sin. And if you remember your baptism, you'll be maybe going back to remember also, it's a reminder of John's baptism of repentance, circumcision of the heart, and the deep waters of death Christ passed through bringing life for all who believe in him. So tonight, Ben and Eli are publicly declaring, yes, I want to belong to the church. I want to stand up for what I believe. It's a key moment in your journey as you publicly say yes yourself to Jesus' call to follow him. Confirmation is really the opportunity to take responsibility for your faith, representing Jesus Christ in the world, because we are Christ's ambassadors, God's co-workers in the world. Secondly, the Passover and the Cedar meal. The Passover refers to the night the Spirit of God took the firstborn of every Egyptian family, but passed over the houses of the Israelites where the blood was on the door. Finally driving Pharaoh to let God's people go. It's the meal that was eaten that night. Now, 40 years later, camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. The point being made here is that celebrating the feast is no longer about the manna from God. That was actually the food that God gave miraculously all the 40 years that the Israelites were in the wilderness. Now it's actually going to be produced from bread from the land that's about to become theirs. It's a whole new era. And of course, our communion service is built on that Passover service. That is when Jesus gave it to his followers, celebrating the Passover with them the night before he died. And it's the second sacrament Christ gave his church. Baptism, communion, the Lord's Supper. That final supper that Jesus had before his crucifixion was really pointing to celebrating a new period in the lives of the disciples. Jesus would no longer be present physically to help them. Jesus gives them the gift of what we come to know as the Lord's Supper. Jesus, whose body was broken for us, whose blood was shed for us, will be present through his Spirit, gifting, comforting, guiding and strengthening us beyond what was possible while Jesus was physically present. The act of communion reminds us of what that cost Jesus and the opportunity that comes with it. And today, I'll be leading us in praying for the gifting of the Holy Spirit, for Ben and Eli, and for the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. Very specific prayers. And thirdly, Joshua's encounter by Jericho. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "But that is not the issue." "Neither," he replied. "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." The point is in what follows, which again takes us right back to God saving his people from slavery in Egypt. Joshua falls face down. He asks, What message does my Lord have for his servant? And the reply is, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. We are right back to Moses being called to lead God's people. Take off your sandals. The same command Moses, the Lord gave to Moses at the burning bush. When Moses received his call to lead God's people out of slavery. They were both told to take off their sandals, remove what's made by human hands, so to speak, and consider the place holy. Being in the presence of God requires humility, vulnerability, and trust. The message which follows in chapter 6 is a series of instructions which make it clear that the Lord has made Jericho holy, that that city is being given to his people against all the odds. It'll be obvious God wins the battle, not Joshua. We see that in the transition. So it already just goes from the commander straight to referring to God. And as I said, I'm not going to go into all the detail here. Do listen to Peter's sermon. What I want to say now is, as you struggle with things like the total destruction being spoken of, there is more to the story. And more than anything else, this is a very particular point in God keeping his promises to his people Israel, the promise of the land. What took place in chapter 5 at Gilgal is critical by Jericho. It is all about what understanding, what anchors, what sustains us as the people of God. The church, in the church year, we are beginning the season of Lent, leading to Easter. As we come to this service of confirmation, let's understand what anchors, sustains, enables us as God's children. Knowing who you are, your baptism, I turn to Christ, is the most significant promise you are making tonight. I turn to Christ. You are followers of Jesus Christ, reborn through his death and resurrection. And we are given the Lord's Supper to sustain us, and we are to hear his message and to be obedient to our calling. That is what unfolds in chapter 6. In the words of Nelson Mandela, who exemplified, he was the first black president of South Africa. I realise some people are very young. Who has exemplified with others such as Archbishop Desmond Tutu what it means to trust against the odds. In the words of his inaugural speech, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give permission to other people to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And I want to finish by saying that is what we see with Rahab and her family as you read on into chapter 6. Rahab, the Canaanite woman, the prostitute, she is saved, it says it twice at least, verse 17 and 25, because she hid the messages we sent to spy out Jericho. Canaanite woman, prostitute, but she actually sees those messengers, they are not fearful, and she is touched by that as well. She will become the mother of Boaz, and through him she will be the antecedent of King David, an ancestor of Jesus himself. And she is remembered in the New Testament as an exemplar of faith and righteousness. Eli and Ben, as you come to your confirmation tonight, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will be strengthening you so that as you live out who you are as a child of God, you will touch the lives of many others. Amen.